The following morning was thick with early mists, and many an eye in the fort tried to pierce the fleecy curtain. When finally the heat and brisk wind dissipated the fog, there still lay the fleet unmoved, and there too was the camp of the landed enemy. Were the British trying to tire the fort's defenders? For a time it seemed so, but in the course of the morning there was much moving of boats between ships and shore, and at last it became clear that something was about to take place. And something did take place, surprising the inmates of the fort as much as though the ships had crawled upon land. The brisk wind had fallen to a light breathing from the south, and soon after the boats ceased passing to and fro. Then every vessel spread its canvas and fled to sea, beating its way down the gulf. Had they gone? Had they given over their first intention, and without a fight? Had the little starry flag frightened them away? One might have thought so, but for the fact that Woodbine and his force remained behind in a little sand fortification they had thrown up. Every eye hung on the receding fleet. Smaller and smaller it became. Lower and lower sank the black hulls until the blue line of the horizon was over them. Then there was a change. It was about 2 PM when the anxious watchers saw the hulls reappear and grow nearer, and at last conviction came. The ships had gone out to form. They were now sailing down the wind in line of battle. They were about to attack the fort. At the head of the line came the Hermes, and the larger guns of the fort engaged her at long range. She replied with spirit, but no damage was done. On she came, proudly and bravely, right up to the narrow channel which ran under the guns of the fort, and when she had approached to within less than easy musket shot, she dropped her anchors, swung around, and let go a whole broadside, the crash of which received a prompt answer in the shape of a shower of round shot from the fort. The order was received with a shout, and the men leaping up pressed forward. Men fell under the terrible fire that met them, but the rest forced their way up to the very loopholes, and thrusting in their rifles, played havoc with the defenders. But the whites paid dearly for their bravery. The Creeks rallied to the wall and cut them down with the return fire. Indeed, so sharp was the contest that two rifles were often thrust through the same loophole but in opposite directions, and both contestants fell dead under a simultaneous explosion. It soon became plain that the wall could only be carried by climbing its height. And again the men swept forward. Curses, shouts, and the blood-curdling war-whoop now filled the air. Rifles cracked, balls whistled, and the deadly bowstring twanged its sharp note of death. Running men fell, and the living tripped over them, but onward went the assaulters, this time to top the wall or die at the foot of it. Major Montgomery of the 39th Regiment was the first man to reach the crest of the defense, but at once fell dead with a ball through his brain. The second man was Ensign Houston, who received a barbed arrow in his thigh before he had fairly gained the top, but he was soon joined by a host of others, and the ramparts were cleared, the savages falling back to the cover and the forest, and fighting for each foot of ground with a stubbornness that was wonderful. But stubbornness only delayed the fatal moment, and, as had been foreseen by Jackson, the battle became a slaughter, for the Indians, fearing torture if captured, asked for no quarter, and gave none. A wounded Indian was nearly as dangerous as one unhurt. To approach him with the humane desire to relieve his thirst or sufferings was to meet with death if the means of causing death were at his hand. A wounded white might have appealed to a rattlesnake about to strike with his fair and expectancy of having mercy shown him. Down came the merciless tomahawk, and off came the reeking scalp, ere there was time for a prayer. Thus the cry soon became, "No prisoners, no mercy." It was a battle in which the result for each side was to be victory or death.